But first, this is KKFM. And KKFM, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by smart local union 9 sheet metal workers.
Who with it now?
We are coming with it, and we are coming for it. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay, and we are the drive. And the Minnesota Vikings are making power moves, and it does impact the Denver Broncos directly. Directly. And that's not over-exaggerating it or being too hyperbolic and emotional. What Minnesota did today, I think, could prove to be extremely problematic for the Broncos, and I want to talk about it here. The news came out this morning that the Vikings acquired a second first-round pick in the form of the 23rd overall pick from the Houston Texans. So now Minnesota, who picks the pick ahead of the Denver Broncos at 11, where Denver picks at 12, they now have the 23rd pick and the 11th pick. And if you know anything about the draft process, this is writing on the wall for this team is going to move up and grab their quarterback. Their old quarterback is signing with Atlanta. It's an obvious need. You don't need to be a detective to figure this out. They're picking at 11. They believe that the Broncos could leapfrog them. They now have the ammunition that Denver does not have currently, and we'll see what it looks like here by this time next month. But the Vikings are going to try to move all the way up. And Phil, I believe they're moving up for J.J. McCarthy as his draft stock has just gone to the moon.
Yeah, man. A lot of people are high on J.J. McCarthy. And if that's the case, that's one of the quarterbacks that everybody thinks Sean Payton loves. All right? And if J.J. is not there, what are we doing? What are we going to do? We're going to have to make some noise. Are we going to trade up? Or do we not love anybody else but J.J. McCarthy? And if that's the case, we may end up trading down. And if we trade down, that tells me that either Sean loved J.J. McCarthy and didn't get him, or Sean does not love any of these quarterbacks in this draft right now, and he's willing to trade down to get somebody else and then go get his quarterback.
I'm wondering if Minnesota's not only worried about the Denver Broncos, but also the New York Giants, who are picking at 6.
See, I'm thinking that they're more worried about the Giants because of all that, the Daniel Jones situation, and now Drew Locke's over there. And the reason why Drew Locke was over there is because they were telling Drew Locke in his ear he has a possibility of competing for a starting job.
Yeah, that's what I believe John Schneider said from Seattle, that they convinced Drew to go to New York because he would have a chance to compete. Now, Drew did a press conference. He's like, Daniel Jones is the starter.
He did.
And he's saying the right stuff, as he should. But it's coming out of New York. From Connor Hughes of SNY, all right, big outlet there in the Northeast. He said there is talk that the Giants are planning on taking J.J. McCarthy with the 6th overall pick. He said league sources spoke highly of McCarthy when polled by SNY, and one high-ranking executive said he'll be a better pro than a college player. And another general manager said he has everything teams look for: size, athleticism, arm strength, accuracy, and playing in a pro-style offense, end quote. I believe every word of this because myself in the past 6 weeks has fallen in love with J.J. And you can't just look, you know, when you're falling in love with these quarterbacks, it can't just be like look at yards or touchdowns. It's got to be nuanced and have some depth to it. And when you look at with J.J., and I know I've talked about some of this stuff before, but some stuff I haven't. You look at the completion percentage when he is scrambling, when the play breaks down. The Pro Football Focus came out with conversion rates and passer rating just on third down, Phil, in the last draft, in the last three drafts. J.J. McCarthy on third down, because a lot of the knock is, well, he doesn't throw it a lot. But when he's asked to throw it in third down situation, he had the best passer rating and conversion rate of any quarterback in the last three drafts. He does have an accurate arm, but can let it rip. He does have fantastic athletic just features physically.
Yeah.
And I think teams are, the secret's out. There is no secret. J.J. McCarthy's going in the top 5.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's looking like. My biggest thing about that, Zach, is if J.J. McCarthy was all these good things, he'd probably be going in front of Caleb Williams. But he ain't. If he was doing all them great things, he'd be going number two to Commanders, which he could.
He could.
I don't see it happening. I think that there's a reason why the Commanders brought Marcus Mariota in there to kind of tailor to
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, kind of give him that veteran presence to help him out. And for the Giants, it's going to be easier for them to move up, though. They can get that fourth spot with the Cardinals, maybe three, because they're sitting at six. They could get three if New England decides to go for someone like Justin Fields. So what are the Broncos going to do? If that's the case, do they have a backup plan? Now, Cliff said that there's a couple quarterbacks that Sean may like. Well, I know if that's the case, it may not be the quarterbacks we're thinking of, and we may have to go lower in the draft, later on in the draft. Or could it be somebody like Drake May this whole time? Drake May has been falling.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it is. We don't know what Sean's thinking. But here's what I hope is not the case, that Sean Payton and the Broncos are dead set on taking a quarterback, any quarterback, whichever falls. And I just, man, is it possible for you to love more than one quarterback? Yeah, I do think it's possible. I do. Is it possible for you to love them all and whichever one falls to you? I just, that is a house built on sand. I do not like that approach. And, we're hearing, how about our guy, Uncle Colin? Uncle Colin, dinner buddy with Sean Payton. Colin Coward, this is Uncle Colin earlier today.
Bo Nix, I think, goes to Denver at 12. I think he's an excellent fit with Sean Payton. He has 61 college starts. Sean Payton needs to win now. He's not here to teach you how to play quarterback. Bo Nix has 61 starts Auburn, Oregon. He is ready to play. His ceiling may be lower, but his floor could be higher. Payton wants a quarterback who follows his play design. That's exactly what Oregon did with Bo Nix. Saw him live twice. They designed him. He hit him. Very, very accurate. Again, 61 college starts. To me, his comp is a little Drew Brees with mobility.
Holy smokes. I think we're getting a little bit carried
Holy
away.
Holy smokes is right. What is he smoking on, man?
Like Drew Brees with mobility. Dude, you watch the Oregon offense, it doesn't look like anything like an NFL offense.
No. And Bo Nix is not out there running around all athletically and stuff. He does what he can. He does a lot of dump offs, right? He does a lot of to the tight ends.
Yes.
To the running backs.
Yes.
Right? That's kind of what Russell was doing.
Yeah, I don't like this. The Bo Nix pick at 12 scares me. It just does. I think there's a reason Bo Nix has 61 starts and not 23. I've been wrong before, and I know I'll be wrong again, so I don't want to get caught up in, definitively saying what this guy's going to be or who he's going to be, because maybe under Sean, he would blossom. It just scares the daylights out of me. And, man, and we're talking about potentially, oh man, Phil,
it's crazy, man.
If they reach on this quarterback that they're not in love with, that they're just dead set on addressing the position, get him on a rookie contract and develop him over the next 2 to 3 years, and you're not in love, and good football players are getting pushed down to you because of the quarterback frenzy, this roster still has a long way to go, man.
We need to build the roster up, but the only thing about that, Zach, is you usually build around a quarterback.
Yes.
So you do have to go get that guy. Bo Nix at 12, I don't like that. I think that you can move down, go get the best player available in the first round and still get a Bo Nix at, in the second round. That's something that you could do if you're going to go for someone like Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. I truly think at some point Michael Penix Jr.'s stock is going to rise back up. It always does. Somewhere down the line, things at the end of the day start to rise back up to where it was before. Drake may end up number three again. It's just how it goes. But if it's not J.J. McCarthy, then who? Drake May? Michael Penix Jr.? It's not going to be a free agency quarterback.
No.
Sam Darnold doesn't want to go here.
No. I'll tell you this. I would rather bet on the injury history of Michael Penix Jr. Over Bo Nix.
Ooh.
I would rather have Michael Penix Jr. because my eyes told me during the season that cat was a flat-out baller. His injury history scares the hell out of me. It does.
I think it would be a safer bet where Sean could put himself in another situation where he can go for a quarterback next year, go get somebody in the second round, trade down, go get the best available because you need to build your roster up anyway. Then get someone like Michael Penix Jr. And then from there, if nothing pans out with that, then you go into the draft. If you lost all those games, Matt Smith keeps on saying Shador Sanders, whoever the case may be that you love.
I just don't think in the NFL you plan 2 years out
at a
quarterback. It's too random. And I don't like it. And I don't think the Broncos are going to be quite bad enough to have the number one pick. So it's a sticky situation. It really is. And I go back to what we talked about on Monday. Were those offshore odds right? Is just Jarrett Stidham going to be the starting quarterback week one in 2024? And Jarrett Stidham has played 4 games in the NFL.
Yeah.
And Sean just loves him.
Yeah, he had a lot of love to say about him, man. He sparks the offense.
And just with his actions. They picked him up on the first wave of free agency a year ago and paid him $10 million.
Gave that man $10 million, man.
So it's not crazy to think. But I'm telling you, Sean's on the clock.
Do you think Sean has a plan? Do you truly, in your hearts of hearts, in your mind, does Sean have a plan for us? I'm hoping he does. I'm hoping Sean has this evil mastermind to take over the world, take over the league, and we're just sitting here too dumb to see it.
Yeah, maybe you may be right, but you can have a plan, but unless you have the resources to pull off the plan, like with this news of Minnesota getting a second first-round pick, I think they're working the phones today, talking with Arizona and New England.
You think they're scrambling?
Absolutely. And they're just getting out ahead of it. They're going to move up the draft board. Like, that's going to happen. They're not walking away from the first round with 2 players. And I think Sean may have had a plan as recent as a month ago. And here's my real fear is that Sean Payton was absolutely in love with J.J. McCarthy prior to the draft process unfolding. And now other teams know what Sean recognized on film, and the guy you love, you're not going to be able to give him a rose. He's not going to be there for you, and you don't have the resources that a team like Minnesota has, and that's not even accounting for the New York Giants at 6, who it's being reported that they are falling in love with J.J. McCarthy. So he could have had a plan that he set out on, just like you would leave town on a road trip. And
well, he was awfully confident.
He was.
He was awfully confident in that combine.
There's no question about it. And I fear that they had the right plans, but not enough resources to pull the plan off. And now the fallback plan, after you swung out in free, or I don't even know if they swung out in free agency, because I don't know.
They didn't swing at all in free agency. They were trying to bunt and still got striked out on a bunt. And for me, it's like, what's the plan? What's the question, coach? What's the question to me? What's the question for
what's
you? What's the plan?
Yeah.
That's my question. What is the plan if you don't get that guy you love? Because it seems like everybody wants J.J. McCarthy at this time. Do you have a backup? Do you have a plan? I don't want to call it a B, like a 2A or something. 1A or what is it?
Yeah,
1A?
Yeah.
1A, 1B still?
Yeah.
What's that plan looking like? Because we still want to win games this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. And then meanwhile, you know, Russell Wilson signing in Pittsburgh. I'll tell you what, man, this has the capability to be not a promise. Don't know how this is going to age.
Am I going to like what you're going to say or what?
You're a big rusty.
I am.
Kamaje's a big rusty. You know, I'm not. But I'd be lying to myself if I said that this doesn't have the potential to be a black eye on Sean Payton.
Ooh-wee.
Because we can never forget that moving on from Russ gave you a better chance to win.
Yeah.
And now he's in Pittsburgh. And Kenny Pickett doesn't want to be in a situation with Russ. So it's Russell's job. Phil, they don't even have a second quarterback on their roster. It's Russell Wilson's job with a baseline of a 10-win team and a great draft class the previous 2 years.
Yep.
A culture already in place, a coaching staff that's never had a losing season. So it has potential to be egg on the face of Sean Payton. And he's on the clock. This is all on his report card now.
It should be on his radar that, okay, the Pittsburgh Steelers have Russell Wilson. Right now it looks like, you get rid of Kenny Pickett. Russell Wilson's your long-term plan? Wrong. They may go and try to make some move, you know, moving up, make some situations happening for this draft for the Steelers too. So if I'm Denver, I'm saying, okay, what is Pittsburgh thinking as well? Are they trying to move up, maybe even in front of us? I don't know if they have the draft capital to do it, but I don't think that their long-term plan is Russ.
No, but that's a good thought though. If Kenny Pickett's out of the fold, they literally don't have another quarterback on the roster outside of Russ. They're picking 20th. Do they pick a Michael Penix Jr.?
Yeah.
You know, that could be interesting as well. So all I know is that if we think we have the patience that, oh, the Broncos are going to be bad for a couple years, we're not going to feel that way this fall. We're not going to feel that way when they're kicking off and if the Broncos are getting their butts whooped
every single. I want to know what Greg Penner's thinking.
Yeah.
What's his patience going to be like going through a season that's not a good season? Right? Does he have the patience? Does he understand? Does he have the blueprint of what Sean wants done? Can Sean bring this blueprint to life for George? Right now, George, you're looking bad because this whole situation and the reason why we're doing all this is because of what you've done. But yet you're still sitting in that office. So there's a lot of things going on, Zach.
And this is where when Greg Penner said a few months ago when he said he was asked about the fan base and he said, we are just as impatient as they are.
Mm.
Okay. We'll see what that the threshold of that patience looks like in 2024, barring something unforeseen. And today, as opposed to yesterday, the cards are more stacked against the Broncos finding that quarterback with now Minnesota signaling, you know, that they're going to move up in the draft and the report coming out of New York that they're going to try to draft J.J. McCarthy. So we'll see. We'll see. By the way, you see Russ, dude, it looks like that guy is down 30 pounds.
Yeah, you said that. You said he looks really skinny. You said he looks good.
He does look good. He does look good.
Got his hair cut. You know, he got a bald fade. You know, he means business.
From the moment he first got in Denver in 2022 to his weight today, it looks like a difference of 45 pounds.
I'm not
even exaggerating. And so we shall see. I mean, there was...
I'm taking my injury guarantee, but...
There was Russ signing his deal with Pittsburgh.
Like, I really wish I was a fly on that wall. I really wish I was a fly on that wall with Mike Tomlin, Russell Wilson. What went down? What was said? Because obviously they feel good enough to get rid of Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, this is Russ reflecting on his time in Denver.
Yeah, I think it's all about how you look at it. And I think that, you know, in life, you know, a lot of times that when things don't go your way, you can look at it as disappointing, you can look at it as growth moments. And so for me, you know, my first year I had, you know, my lat, I was playing on it, pushing through it. You know, should I have done that? You know, you compete every day. You know, you got to do what you got to do. And I think that everything didn't go our way the first year, this past year, I felt like myself again. And, you know, so I can't wait to just put on the cleats and go after.
Okay. I mean, Russ didn't really answer the question about his time in Denver. He kind of put the first year on his lat.
Yeah.
And he kind of did that with Brandon Marshall, too. And it's like, okay, I mean, I don't know.
Look at you.
I don't know. here's more Russ. Did he throw a jab at Denver here? You decide.
Yeah, I'm expecting us to win. I'm expecting us to do everything we can to enjoy this process and get better every single day. I think the gift of this game is you get to go out there and try to be the best version of you every day. I've been fortunate. This has been my 13th year in the league. You know, most of these years have been exciting and fun. There's been, you know, one or two years, you know, but you get back to it. And I think I'm really excited about just the opportunity to really be the best version of myself every day.
All right. I can't stand it. I can't.
He's telling the truth. He said the 2 years were not good.
Yeah.
He's like, he's throwing his best foot forward.
Yeah. 1 or 2 years. Screwed over the Broncos royally. I'll be all right.
He didn't. George did.
Yeah.
He didn't force George to sign him that.
Yeah.
I've taken that contract too.
Here's a little bit more from Russ.
I was fortunate to have several teams call and all that, but this is the place that I wanted to be. Be a Pittsburgh Steeler and to wear the black and gold. It's a true honor. It's tradition. It's history. There's six trophies in there, and we got to go get a seventh.
Oh, there it is.
Go! There it is.
That
chill of the trophy.
Oh, no. I want to feel the chill of that trophy again.
Yeah, Russ, go get that trophy.
Russ talking Super Bowl right out of the gate. Go figure, man. Didn't learn his lesson.
What is he supposed to do, man?
Not talk about Super Bowls during the intro press conference when you've won like 9 games
in
the last 2 years.
He's on a winning team.
Yeah.
He can't say, I want to go to the playoffs. They go to the playoffs every year.
Yeah. God almighty. Well, I'll tell you what, man. As much as Russ drives me nuts, he's got an absolute opportunity to stick it to the Broncos in a way that will be like, this is so unusual. In NFL history, a setup like this. So we'll see what it looks like.
Sean just better be ready. He better be ready. If they don't win that game, and Russ goes for like 280, 300 yards, he's passing down the middle of the field. Oh, I can see it right now, KJ.
And he will have some answers ready in the press conference.
Oh, yes.
And digs at Denver. Like, believe it. And Russ will do it in such a, you know, he had a line early in 2022 when the Broncos won a game. I think they beat like the Niners in comeback fashion or something.
Yeah.
And Pete Carroll, after they won the Monday Night Football game to start the year, was like, yeah, like our plan was to make him go left, you know, make him go left because he likes to roll out right.
Yeah.
And they beat like the Niners, and he was like, you know, this is Russ after the game. He's like, well, I guess I can still go left. And it's like, oh, you just threw a jab at Pete. And there'll be something locked and loaded for the Denver Broncos if the Steelers come in here and win that game. That's just the way that's going to go.
Yeah, and Sean better not say, what's the question? Because I'll be like, how dare you? You already know the question's coming. You just better start talking.
What's the question?
I'll tell you this. If Sean Payton in consecutive years, in his first 2 years in Denver, loses to Zach Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett after calling him the worst coaching job in NFL history, and then the next year, that was in Denver.
Yeah.
No Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson. And then the next year loses to the guy that he said he couldn't win with and loses against him in Denver, and you know it's going to be on national television. I don't care who the Broncos quarterback is.
I keep saying it's going to be the first game. Now, Drew doesn't think so because it's the Denver Broncos right now that's on a rebuild, and, you know, it's the Steelers. But it's drama. It's scripted. Speaking of Zach Wilson, I heard he put his house up for sale.
Is that right?
Yeah, I did. Over there, you know, in
yeah, it's
New
a
York.
Wrap. Yeah, it's a wrap.
It is. It could be here, though. Are you still willing to give him a seventh?
Sure.
We have nobody else.
Sure. Take a seventh round pick because it's the quarterback position and because the upside was once there as recent as 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And because Sean Payton's the guru that he tells us, sure, take a seventh. Bring in Zach Wilson. Bring his mom here.
All right, everybody, hide your mom.
Oh, my God almighty. Jerry Jeudy. Guys, he's finally somewhere he's wanted. What would qualify success for Jeudy in Cleveland, and how close will we be watching him and two other Broncos in 2024, not named Russell Wilson? That's coming up next.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor, bro, I know, you know.
All right, happy Friday to you. You made it to the end of the week. Congratulations, heading into the weekend, if you do have a weekend. And I know some of you grinders out there spend your time working on the weekend, too. So if that's you, keep your head up. Appreciate you making us a small part of your Friday. Hey, what would quantify as a successful season for Jerry Jeudy in Cleveland this upcoming year?
Stat-wise?
Yeah.
He's not going to be the number one receiver this year. Probably 800 yards, 6 touchdowns. You know, that's going to kind of be what he could be with Amari Cooper sitting on the other side of him. 800 yards, 6 touchdowns, have some momentum. It'll help him get paid. I mean, Calvin Ridley just got the bag over there in Tennessee, and I think Calvin only went for – did he only go for 800 yards?
Let me just double check. I think you're right.
Yeah. He got paid $92 million.
That's insane.
Crazy.
That is insane.
And he's 29 years old.
And he had a whole year off.
Whole year off. Gave him $92 million. He's 29 years old.
Yeah, it was
a receiver, man.
Excuse me. No, he went for 1,000.
Okay, so he did go far.
Yeah, it was 1,016 yards.
All right.
With 8 touchdowns. But man, in 2020, I mean, that guy was almost 1,400 yards.
He was cooking, man. He got in trouble.
Yeah, derailed his 2022, but didn't stop him from getting paid. I wonder how the fans of Cleveland would feel about Jeudy with the 800 yards and 6 touchdowns. Well, you know, how would they feel about that?
I guess if they're winning games or in the playoffs, he's contributing.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper's doing well. It makes it look really, really good. It makes it look really, really good. Whereas here in Denver, You know, didn't he have almost 800 yards?
Yeah, it was 758 this year.
Yeah, you know.
And last year, 2022, was 972 with six touchdowns. Yeah. That was his best year.
So he's under a microscope over here in Denver. Over there in Cleveland, he's kind of like somebody that add on to the yard, somebody can help Amari out.
Yeah. Well, he said it feels good to be wanted.
No, as a player, you always want to feel, you always want to be a place that you want to feel welcome. You want to make it feel like home and want to be wanted. So, you know, having that feeling, you know, is great.
All right. And I don't want to just dump on Judy because, yeah, he is some place for a team that wanted to trade for him. I think they might have even tried once or twice in the past. But golly, man, that just doesn't sit well with me. Someplace where you were wanted. The Broncos made you the highest drafted wide receiver in the history of this franchise. It's been around forever.
Yeah, they wanted you.
They wanted it more than anything. You. Yes. Yes.
I wanted him. I was like, man, that's how are we going to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs? Without fighting fire with fire, go get speed. Jerry Jeudy was electrifying coming out of college.
Yeah.
So I was excited for the pick, too.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll see what happens for Jeudy. But I'll tell you, in Cleveland, he's not their guy.
Mm.
Like, he's a new Brown.
You're
but,
right.
Like, in Denver, he was this fan base's guy. So I think the Broncos country in general, and I know everyone's different, but in general, this fan base showed a lot of grace for Jerry Jeudy.
A lot of patience.
A lot of patience, man. And I just don't know if that's going to exist in Cleveland. So if he gets a case of the dropsies again, like he's had throughout, I mean, they are going to eat him alive.
Yeah, it's Cleveland. The Cleveland fans do not mess around. They're like Broncos country, you know, but it's not their guy.
It's not their guy.
So if you go into Cleveland and you don't help Cleveland out, Cleveland just went to the playoffs, then there's going to be a big issue. Right, and Jerry Jeudy's gonna want to get back online and jump online, and it's gonna be poor him.
Don't do that. Don't do that. They are not gonna have the patience for that at all. And I think of like a guy like Melvin Gordon, who came in here, never felt like a true Bronco. And I think the tone from the fan base when things would go sideways for Melvin was more just assertive and aggressive than it was even for someone like Jeudy, because he was a drafted Bronco, had been here for years.
And Melvin would let him know. Melvin would let it know that he didn't feel welcomed here.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, so, yeah.
Just don't drop the ball, don't fumble the ball, and nobody would ever have an issue.
No, with either guy. But both had extra stuff to the on-field struggles.
They did.
With some headache stuff. All right, man. We'll see how it all shakes out. Who would you bet on to make the Broncos look worse in 2024? Jerry Jeudy or Russell Wilson? Which one of those two guys could make the Broncos, and they both could, which is why I'm asking the question. Who's got the better chance of making the Broncos look bad in 2024?
Russell Wilson, hands down. He's inside a winning organization. He's going to be the head man. He's the quarterback.
Yep.
So everything goes through him.
Yep.
He gets to play Denver. Does Cleveland get to play Denver as well?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Let's double check on it. I don't think so.
Russ gets to play Denver. So Russ has an opportunity to make us look bad and go to the playoffs and feel the chill of the trophy.
Oh, God. Feel the chill of the trophy.
So I think it's Russ.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right. You're right. He's the quarterback position. And the Broncos are paying him to be there.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that they're playing opponents from the AFC North, right? So they're playing Cleveland, and guess what? And guess what?
It's here.
It's in Denver.
Oh, both.
Yes, Russ is coming back to Denver, and Judy's coming back to Denver.
Oh,
that is. And didn't Josie Jewell sign with the Panthers?
He did.
The Panthers are coming back to. Oh. No, that's not going to have the same sizzle as Jeudy and Russ.
Josie hasn't done anything to nobody.
No.
What kind of dance move is Jerry Jeudy going to pull out if he scores on us?
Oh, please believe it's being choreographed. It's being planned for.
He said, this one's for Zach Bye.
There's going to be something. Maybe even a prop used.
It might.
Maybe even a prop. Will he do like a bucking Bronco? Like, what's his name? Marquette King used to do.
What is Russ going to do? If Russ scores a touchdown down the middle of the field.
Oh, my gosh. Now I really have to use my imagination. oh, my gosh. No.
Steeler Nation, let's steal.
No, he'll handle it classy on the field, but he'll have some sort of some sort of comment in the press conference.
Oh, man.
Some sort of comment.
He's like, I kissed a couple babies on the way here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll be something like that. Like, you know, in Pittsburgh, they just let me be be myself. You know, and that's why I'm getting the best. I'm just myself, you know. All right. We'll see. We'll see, man. Jerry, just putting that together with you in real time. Judy and the Browns coming to Denver in 2024. All right. We shall see. All right. We're heading into a weekend that is absolutely packed with Colorado sports. Big games. Like, sincerely, big games. And it starts tonight. We'll predict the weekend and what we're looking for coming up next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil.
All right, we're going to serve up the five things that we're watching for this weekend in the Drive's Top 5 tonight, brought to you by High Five Plumbing. But before we do that, it's that time of the year again. Guys, everyone's getting ready to fill out their brackets. What a fun exercise. And the good news for you is that you have a chance to win $1,000. No. $2,000. No. Is it $4,000? No. $5,000 if you have that winning bracket.
Rich! Rich!
How much does it cost to enter? Is it $100? Is it $50? Is it $10? No, it's free.
Free 99.
And if it's free, it's for me. Head to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. Guys, literally no downside. All right, so enter to win before the first game on March 21st. And by the way, let me let our listeners know about this too. You know, once in a while, as recent as this past week, like I asked, hey, when are you and Phil going to be like out and about?
Yeah.
You know, they want Philip Lindsay to sign something. They want to take a picture with Phil. Well,
it's hard not to with a face like this.
You can join us this Thursday at Stoney's downtown off 11th and Lincoln to watch some college hoops. Yeah. It's going to be a madhouse.
Let's go.
And we're going to be there live from 2 to 6 for the first day of the tournament. All right. Can't wait, man. Cannot wait. All right, Mr. Philip Lindsay, what are you looking for this weekend in our five things we're looking for brought to you by High Five Plumbing?
Man, there's so much going on from hockey to the Nuggets. But for me, it still has to be the Colorado Buffaloes. They're rolling right now, 7 in a row. Can they do it again tonight?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Prime's book tour.
Oh,
you're talking about
I've
the hardwood.
I already read that.
Oh.
I already read that.
Elevate and dominate.
Which escalates.
I'm not a moment, I'm a monument. There's first chapter. Boom. Done.
If you want any more verses, you're going to have to pay more.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So
yeah,
you're watching the CU Buffs men's basketball.
And then still stuck on the Harry Potter stuff. So after the men's basketball is over.
Oh, really?
Harry Potter. Yeah, I'm going to finish it up. So.
Okay. I love it, man. I love it. Kamaje Granderson behind the glass. KJ, what are you watching for this weekend?
I am going to go ahead and tip my hand here. You know, as you just teased, the 5K bracket challenge we have coming up. I already have UConn winning it all.
Oh, yeah.
So I am going to be watching the Big East Championship, which UConn will be in, and it will give me all the good feels about the decision I'm going to make to select UConn as my full bracket winner.
That team is loaded. They have shot makers, ball handlers, athletic long center, and they've been there, done that. A lot of these guys were on the championship team a year ago. Coach Hurley's got it rolling there in Stores, Connecticut. And they're fun, man. For me, it's like UConn, Houston,
mm-hmm.
maybe Arizona is a dark horse.
Oh, maybe.
You know, see you tonight. You mentioned see you, Phil. They have number 22. Washington State tonight at 8:30 on FS1. So it works out really cool. So you have the Denver Nuggets and the Spurs at 6:30. But they're not playing San Antonio in San Antonio. They're playing in Austin, which is just a twist.
Austin, Texas, baby.
And then you have the Buffs at 8:30 on FS1. And then at 10 o'clock tip. Are you kidding me?
I might be asleep by that time. But I need to see the Rammies.
The CSU Rams. They knocked off number 23, Nevada, who had a great year. And tonight they have New Mexico at 10 o'clock at night, so it staggers real nice. And then tomorrow night, the Avalanche in Edmonton, the two MVP favorites, the Hart Trophy favorites, Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid. Cannot wait for
on
that.
The ice. Be square.
And then on Sunday, you turn the page, and it's another big boy national setting for the world champion Denver Nuggets, who lock horns with the Mavericks at 1:30 in the afternoon here locally. And it's the 3:30 Eastern. That's the big boy network TV tip-off. ABC. That is going to be a fantastic watch. So just an awesome weekend in Colorado sports. I absolutely love it. And that'll do it. Those are the five things we are watching for heading into the weekend, presented by our friends at High Five Plumbing. Buffs get it done, Phil?
They're going to get it done tonight. They will. It's going to be a tough one, but they will.
Kamaje, do the CSU Rams get it done tonight?
They definitely will. I got faith in the Rammies. Isaiah Stevens, he understands. Man, I am playing my last few games as a Ram, and I've got to make the most of it.
Yeah, arguably the greatest player in program history. Arguably.
Josh and Stokes, that.
Yeah, they don't want to retire his jersey.
What about you?
I think they both win.
Okay.
CU has a certain mojo about them now. And shout out Tad Boyle for saying, hey, Cody Williams, you've been out of the mix for a couple weeks here, a week or two. We're winning games for that. I know you're supposed to be the number one pick in the draft. You're going to come off the bench for us. And shout out Cody Williams for embracing that role. And I think CSU, man, I trust that group. They had a kid, Jalen Lake, come off the bench and score 16 points to lead all scorers off the bench. So I think both teams win, and we're going to have both teams in the NCAA tournament for the first time in a little over a decade.
Ooh-wee. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. Will we come in here on Monday with a new Broncos quarterback in the fold? Serious question. Do they, like, trade for a Zach Wilson? Do they say, you want to know what? Justin Fields' market is now a fourth-round pick. Let's just bring him in.
I like it. I like that one. I like it.
Does it actually happen, though?
Nobody knows. It should. Something has to happen. Something has to happen, man.
Okay. All right.
Justin Fields to the Denver Broncos. I'm putting it out there.
Oh. All right. Thanks for holding down the fort a few days while I was gone. And
it was tough, man. My back's sore.
Shout out Kamaje behind the glass and Drew Spivak and our whole team here behind the scenes. We got Ty Fuji in the house. And we're going to go ahead and toss it to the Pac-12 tournament. It's, well, we got Oregon and, let me get this right here. We're going to the Pac-12 tournament. I'm very confident in that. Everyone have a great weekend. It's Oregon and Arizona. Oregon and Arizona. There it was. Guys, everyone have a great weekend. Stay safe. Be kind to one another. And we'll be back here on Monday to have some fun. Thanks for making us a small part of your Friday afternoon. Pac-12 basketball tournament on the men's side from Las Vegas. Coming up next. We'll be right back.